Thank you, Amy. Beautiful job, as always. Open your Bibles, please, today to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Over the years, I've had been a pastor for a while, of course, and over the years, I've had more than one occasion, people make statements and comments about the church as far as, you know, well, I don't really believe in church, or I don't believe in organized religion, or I don't, you know, the church is, you know, and here you'll hear, I've heard phrases such as, you know, I would go up there to church, but preach, there's a lot of hypocrites up at that church. And, you know, and sometimes the church, the local assembly, sometimes the church can get a bad reputation. Sometimes churches are known for a lot of things they shouldn't be known for, and that's sad. Sometimes churches are known for their fighting and their fussing. Sometimes they're known for a lot of negative things. But I'm thankful today that when, as far as in the Word of God is concerned, the Lord Jesus, and you can see this if you'll study the Word of God and you study in the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ puts a high value on a local New Testament church. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus told the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians that the local assembly is where the Lord Jesus receives honor and glory. Unto him be glory in the church. Of course, that understanding and context of that local assembly. So if a church is to be a place where Jesus receives honor and glory, then what should it look like? What should a church look like? I've had a lot of stories. I've had a lot of things. I've had people tell me things that you wouldn't believe when it comes to a church. I had friends of mine from Kentucky one time say to me, they said, "Brother Harold, you won't believe this." I was like, "What's that?" They said, "I was preaching a revival one time at a church, and some family members of the pastor had come to the church, and I had known them for years. They had since moved further away, so it was a really long way for them to come to the church that they were a member of. So they were looking for another church closer to their home and things. And so they start calling around, and they called, honest truth, honest, I won't give the names of the people, but honest truth, they called this one church. They went and visited, actually, they went and visited this church, and of course, they didn't really say much about it, but then they start calling around. They happened to call that church, that pastor. And that pastor said to them, that he said, "We're a small church." And then he made this statement. He said, "We're a small church." And he said, "Now, I'll be honest with you, you probably really wouldn't be a good fit for our church." I think I'd like to add, neither would Jesus. Amen. I've had folks share with me stories of different things that have happened in church. And there's a lot of negative things. There's a lot of negative things that go on in churches. But you know what? I'm thankful to God that Jesus is still on his throne. And I'm thankful to God that even though churches aren't perfect, you say, "Preacher, shouldn't the church..." And sadly, oftentimes people, they start looking for churches. And one of the things that really can hang them up is if they look for a church that's perfect. But here's the thing. I've said this before, and I mean this. If I found a perfect church, I would not join it. And let me tell you why. Because I would mess up its perfection. Amen? I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ places a high value on the church. He places a huge high value on the local assembly. And you say, "Well, Brother Tracy, I'll be honest with you. It's because of..." You know, let me address the hypocrite statement. "It's because of hypocrites in the church, that's why I won't join it." Well, let me address that for a minute. You really do not live by that in every area of your life. There's hypocritical doctors. Can I get a witness in the building? But that doesn't stop us from going to doctors, right? Well, there's hypocrites in mechanics. Oh, shall we pray? Right? You go in for a tune-up and you leave it, it costs you $1,200. "Well, we got the checking around." "Oh, yeah, you're getting ready to go on vacation?" That's what you want to say to them. You know, "Oh, you're getting ready to put a new pool in your house?" But no, we don't let that keep us from going to a mechanic. We don't let that keep us from going to the doctor. We don't let that keep, because here's the thing. You say, yeah, but Pastor, no. If Jesus, and here's a question we must ask. If Jesus himself, the God that we serve, if we know Christ our Savior, we've been born again, the God that, if Jesus himself puts a high value on the local assembly, it would do us well to take a good look at it. It would do us well to take a look even in our lives and ask ourselves, am I maybe robbing myself because I'm not part of a local church? I think you are. And I'll just encourage, let me speak encouragement to you. This is our 65th anniversary celebration. You say, I know, and here comes the commercial to get you to join Emmanuel. No. It's not, honestly, hear my heart. Before my Lord, I mean this statement with all the love I can say in my heart. We would love to have you as a member. If you know Jesus as your Savior, we would love to have you as a member. If you do not know Christ your Savior, we would love to show you Jesus so that you could put your faith and trust in Christ and maybe prayerfully become part of this local church. But the point is this. We would hope that the Holy Spirit of God would be the one that would put you here. Right? So, if that be the case, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. And I am well aware that there's fried chicken and teriyaki beef over in the fellowship hall. You know the bad thing about me just saying that? That's the only time I ever hear some of my men amen in this church. Is when I start talking food. You have to understand, I've been a pastor here for almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years at the end of December. 12 years ago, I weighed 75 pounds less than I do now. But here's the thing. I'm still the same man that I was, because inside of me there's a little Tracy trying to get out. But I can usually suppress him with a taco and a Mountain Dew. I can usually suppress that. Oh, my goodness. But did you meet my friends from Zambia, Africa here today? Glad to have them. My wife's like, oh, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, mercy. Look what Paul says. I love this passage, perhaps one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, because really what it does, it brags on the local church. And that's what I hope to do today. Brag on Jesus, yes, but really brag on the local assembly. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, verse 1, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's a good place for a church to be. That's a good place for a local assembly. If a local assembly is in God, it'll help it with its issues in it. Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Paul didn't have that negative spirit about a church. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Do we give thanks always for the church? Do we give thanks always for the members of this body? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and of our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know, what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, and ye became followers, mimics is the word, of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you, look at verse 8, for from you, church at Thessalonica, from you sounded out, literally like a trumpet, that's the picture, it's a picture phrase, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. That's what needs to sound out from a church, God's word, amen? Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God, look at this now, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings now in the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, truly be our teacher, be our guide, for praise your holy name for what you're doing in our lives and the life of our church family. For it's in Christ's name I pray. and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to preach a message simply entitled this morning, Church Inside and Out. Church Inside and Out. And I want to show you a few things I hope will encourage you this morning. Maybe God has, maybe for some time, you've been praying, you've been seeking God's face and seeking the will of the Lord as to what church to be a part of. Because you know, listen, God loved you enough. If you're born again, let me talk to you first of all. God loved you enough to save you, amen? But God also loved you enough when he saved you not to leave you by yourself. Can I get a witness in the building? Think with me for a moment. What did God do when he saved you? Here's what God did when he saved you. The very moment you got born again, he placed you in the family of God. You're my brother and sister in Jesus Christ. My friends from Zambia, Africa, are my brother and sister in Jesus Christ, the family of God. So if let me also say this. You have God. Ready for this one? We're talking relationship now. You have God as your heavenly Father. Relationship. God didn't save you and to put you on an island by yourself somewhere. God saved you with the whole purpose in mind of conforming you on the authority of Romans chapter 8. God saved you with the whole sole purpose of mind of you giving him glory with your life, but also of conforming you to the image of his dear Son. One of the ways of doing that, and one of the ways that helps us to grow in our relationship with Jesus, is by other friends, other ones that are part of the same family we are. You say, yeah, but preacher, you know, there's some in the family we just don't get away, we don't get along with. There's some in family, preacher, that are crazy. You listen, let me speak into that for a minute. You say, yeah, preacher, there's some at the family reunion. Well, let me just help you with something. You may be the crazy family member that they talk about at the family reunion. So just kind of keep that in mind when you think about there's crazy people in churches. Listen. We're all part of the family if we're born again. Let me say it like this. Maybe you haven't thought about this in a while. Do you realize that we, if we're born again, we will spend eternity in heaven together? Some of you are looking around right now. Whoa, hope my mansion ain't next to that one. You have that attitude, you may live in the guest house next to that guy. Just a thought. But Jesus, he has much to say about the church. You saw a preacher, I will never be a member of a church. Well, I'm sorry if you have that attitude. I really am, because you're missing out. Because you know what I love about, one of the things I love about being a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, not just a pastor, but as a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, there's a biblical principle in the New Testament that here's the principle. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice. But if one member suffers, we all suffer. What does that teach us? That teaches me that if I'm going through something, my brothers and sisters in Jesus will help shoulder the burden of that situation. They're going to pray for me. They're going to love on me. They're going to encourage me. They're going to speak encouragement into my life. One of the most passionate things that I have in my life is trying my best to be an encourager. I mean that before my Lord and Savior, and I'm not saying that braggadociously. I eat, breathe, and sleep wanting to be an encouragement. But here's the thing about encouragement, and here's a little, I use this illustration for years, I've used this, but it really, I think it kind of fleshes out a very similar picture, description of what it means to be encouraged or discouraged. If somebody is encouraged, look at the word encouraged in your mind. If somebody is encouraged, it's simply because someone or something has poured courage into them. I'm encouraged. If I say to you, man, that really encourages me. When you say, preacher, the greatest preacher in America. My wife says that on a daily basis. Just kidding. She may say something like this. I've heard that one before. You know, something like that. I don't know. Someone or something has poured courage into me. I want to be an encourager, don't you? I mean that. One of the things that my wife and I, we talk a lot. Honestly, we talk every day. You and Miss Leslie talk every day. That's the honest truth before our Lord. We talk every day. The only time that we're not able sometimes to is when I was in Colorado, bad cell signal, but we try to text or try to some way stay connected, whether through messaging or whatever. But we talk every day. And one of the things we were talking about just the other day as far as, and hear my heart in this. Emmanuel, members of Emmanuel Mr. Baptist, hear my heart in this. You remember being taught something as a child? Maybe you were taught this as a child. If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say anything. Remember being taught that? You say, well, preacher, I gave them my opinion. Well, here's the only thing. They weren't asking for your opinion. Can I get a witness in the building? Be careful because, you know, maybe you were taught this as a child. This is a very deep theological nursery rhyme you may have been taught. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie from hell. Words hurt, and they can hurt deep. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you ever been hurt by words in a church? Somebody saying something to you. Sure. Maybe all of us could have raised our hand. But understand something. The God that loves you and the God that gave his life for you, he absolutely lovingly desires for us to be part of a local fellowship. You say, preacher, you really truly, you believe that conviction by conviction? You believe that God would desire us to be part of a local assembly? I have Bible to back it up. You look in the book of Acts, you look in the book of Philippians, you look in the book of Ephesians, you look in the Galatian letter, you look all throughout Paul's writings, and you'll see over and over and over, for example, in Acts, they that received his word, they that gladly received his word, received the word, were what? Baptized. Become part of a local New Testament church, a local fellowship. So the word encourage, coming back to you, you thought I lost that for a minute, the word encourage means somebody or something has poured courage into you. Discouraged? Very similar. Discouraged. The only reason someone often may be discouraged, and I'm just going to tell you right now. You say, preacher, have you ever been discouraged? Yeah. And the reason often it's discouragement happens is because someone or something has pulled courage out of me. May it not be said of anyone, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, that you're a discourager. Please don't be a discourager. May we be an encourager. May we say, well, preacher, I don't have that motivational gift. That's not my motivational exhortation, encouragement. That's not my motivational gift. You don't have to have the motivational gift of exhortation to be an encourager. Can I get a witness today? No, be an encourager. Seek out of being somebody. You say, well, I just tell people what I feel. The only problem with that is, if I check my Bible correctly, you're to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And because you're to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, listen, friend, I'm chasing a rabbit, but that's okay. We are to be not just encouragers, but because we have Jesus living in us, may we talk like he would if he was standing here. Just a thought. So Paul, he wants us to see some things about this church in Thessalonica. Notice, first of all, notice the enthusiasm that captured this church. This church was very enthusiastic. This church was an excited church. Amen? Yeah, they're excited. Yeah, they're excited, preacher. Oh, what'd he say? Do me a favor. If anybody ever goes to sleep during church, very quietly whisper, lean over and whisper and say, hey, the preacher just called on you to dismiss in prayer. I don't care if it's in the middle of the service, right? You say, preacher, that's lying. Well, you know, forgiveness is easier than permission, but we'll talk about that later. I tell our people all the time, I say, you go to sleep on me when I'm preaching, I'll hit you with a hymn book. I promise you I'll throw a hymn book at you. I'm just kidding. You say, that's discouraging. Yeah, I know, I just ruined my whole sermon, didn't I? This church is very enthusiastic. They were excited.
They went to church not to get out. Amen. They went to church. They didn't go to church with the whole ambition of just getting out of it. Man, they went with excitement. They went, they understood that Jesus was alive, man. He wasn't a dead Savior. You know, you may have heard people ask, well, preacher, what was the significance of Jesus coming out of the grave? What was the significance of Jesus rising again from the dead? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it was significant. A dead Savior can save no one, but a living Savior can save anybody who will repent and trust Him as Savior. That's what's awesome about my Lord. But this church was very enthusiastic. You saw it in their worship. You saw it. Look at the text. Paul tells me, verse 2, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God for our gospel. Look at this now. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Let me park there for a minute. This church had the power of God on it. You didn't hear me. They had the power of God on it, man. You said, preacher, well, how do we know that the power of God was on that church? Let me tell you how you know power of God is on a church, how the power of God's on a place. People's lives are being changed. Their lives are being changed. They're being saved. They're getting born again. They're trusting Christ their Savior. God is arresting them and just changing their lives with His Word. Our gospel came not only in word only. It wasn't just words coming off our lips. It was demonstrated with the power of God resting in that church. May it be said of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist that this is a church where the power of God is on. Amen? How many we have here today, guys? 4,000? 242. To God be the glory. That's one of our biggest crowds in a long, long, long time. 12 years ago, deacons, 12 years ago, first service I preached at, we had 22 people. Yeah, somebody said 22. Yeah, 22. 22. Now, take 22 people and scatter them throughout the building. I preached more than that in junior churches, man. 22 people. In October of 2002, God led us here, my wife and I, on December 22nd, we accepted the pastorate. December 20th, he said, you're a Baptist and you and your wife accepted the pastorate. Just hear my heart in this. I do the preaching. She writes the sermons. And she critiques it as I deliver it. She critiques the delivery. No, but my point was this. In October, you need to understand the history and why I'm saying the power of God in a place. In October of 2002, there was a motion and second on the floor of this auditorium to sell this place and all the property. Is that right? There was a motion and second to sell this building and place. You say, preacher, why would that happen? Well, you have to also understand the handwriting was on the wall. The heat bills alone are $2,200 a month in the wintertime. $2,300 a month. You say, oh, I knew you was going to get to talk about giving. Well, while I'm there, might as well talk about it. Amen. I would much rather give to something that is alive. So look what God's done. The power, and just not because of us, not because of me. I'm just using that for illustrative purpose to brag on Jesus and to brag on His power. God intervened. God intervened in that business meeting. We weren't here. We were told this. God intervened in that business meeting. Rescinded the motions to sell the property and just to wait on the Lord and trust in God. And of that 22 people, many said, God isn't done with this. God isn't done with Emmanuel. God isn't done with Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Brother Randolph made this statement from this pulpit. He's now with the Lord Jesus. Brother Randolph and Mrs. Randolph. Brother Randolph and Mrs. Randolph were Nancy Knoll's mom and dad. And Brother Randolph preached. He was 93, I think, when he made this statement. 93 or 95, somewhere when he made this statement. He said, you know, preaching from this pulpit, God began to grow the church. God began to bless. And man, the church began to get active, and more people were coming, and souls were getting saved and getting baptized. And Brother Randolph made a statement from this pulpit years ago. He said, you know what? He said, the church, he said, we had really dwindled down. He said, it reminds me of a story. So I'm like, okay, let me hear the story. He says, it reminds me, he says, I've got a flower in my backyard. And I'm thinking, I won't lie, Miss Nancy. When Brother Randolph started to talk about flowers, I thought, oh, where is he going with this? He said, I got a flower in my backyard. He said, that flower pretty much had dwindled down to where there was, seemingly, there wasn't much life in that little flower. He said, but somebody told me you should go get some Miracle-Gro and put some Miracle-Gro to that plant and see if that doesn't revive it again. And Brother Randolph says, you know, he says, I did that. And he says, and now, he said, I have a flower that's big, in his words, big as a pie plate. He said, how in the world does that have to do with Emmanuel Missionary Baptist? In the words of Brother Randolph, this is what he said. He said, we as a church had really dwindled down. He said, we were almost dead. And then he said this, and I'll never forget this by God's grace as long as I live. He said, some of you out there who knew how to get a hold of God, got a hold of God. And look what God's done. Ladies and gentlemen, power of God. The presence, the power of God. Being part of a church that's alive. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about it. All preachers ever talk about is money. No, they really don't. They honestly really, really don't. But if you only go once or twice a year, chances are you're going to hear it. We really don't talk about money. Often as preachers. But God's people, and I tell preachers and pastors this, you know, they'll tell me, like, Brother Tracy, I have pastor friends, they're like, I hate preaching on money. I was like, listen, don't ever apologize for calling God's people to obedience. Don't do that. Be part of a church. So Paul's saying that you had enthusiasm. There was excitement in a church. There ought to be. Amen? Amen? There ought to be excitement. Listen, friend. I said earlier, don't confuse reverence with rigor mortis. There's nothing spiritual about a dead church. There's nothing spiritual about a church where there's no life. A church needs to be a place where there's life because of the risen Savior that we serve. We serve a risen Savior. He's a life-changing God, man. He's a God who answers prayer. Where's Miss Betty? He answers prayer, doesn't he? Prayed for a brother-in-law. Devout Hindu. Prayed that God would save him. I went and witnessed to him. Honestly. Went and witnessed to him, and he was very kind, very respectful. He's a tremendously kind man. Had a picture of an elephant, right? Had a picture of an elephant on the wall. Not lying, not telling you the truth. And that was the God that he prayed to. Picture of an elephant on a wall. He said, what did you do? Well, we gave him the gospel. That was a couple years ago. Probably, wasn't it, Betty? A couple years ago. He said, did you see him get saved? No. Well, we started praying as a church. Hear me now. We started praying as a church. Lord Jesus, soften his heart. God, Lord Jesus, show him his need for Christ. Show him his need, Lord, to really be born again. Show him his need, God, for you. How long ago, Betty? A couple weeks back? Not that she remembers. I'm sitting in a deer stand out in Colorado, or an elk, sitting up in a tree stand out in Colorado. I get a text message from Miss Betty, his sister-in-law. Preacher, she said, Sukumal just trusted Jesus as his Savior. I just was able to lead him to Christ. How's that happen? The power of God. Resting on it. And excitement. Now, Miss Betty, you've rushed me in my sermon. you've got me ahead of my sermon. You say, that's good because there's chicken and teriyaki beef over there in fellowship hall. Amen. There was enthusiasm. There was an excitement, man. It was exciting, and their worship. Their worship was exciting. It ought to be. The Word of God was exciting to them. You receive the gospel, he says this in verse 5. He says, for our gospel came not in doing word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. There's enthusiasm that captured this church. There was evangelism, second of all, that consumed this church. Look at verse 8. He says, for from you, look at verse 8 now. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, trumpeted out the word of God. A church, amen, needs to be a witness. Boy, that was a good place to say amen right there. A church needs to be evangelistic. A church needs to reach out. I read a statement on Twitter yesterday. You say, oh man, you're Twittering again? Yeah. I'm getting high. I told Brother Stevens, my missionary friend from Zambia, Africa. I told him the other day, I said, man, I'm a high-tech redneck, and we're high-tech rednecks. But I read this statement, and I thought this was awesome. And the statement was from a Baptist pastor. He says, the longer a church is in existence, hear me, look up here for a minute. He said, the longer a church is in existence, the more danger of a church turning inward. Turning inward. My needs met. My needs met. I want my will done. I want, preacher, why wasn't I asked? Well, preacher, you know, you didn't recognize me, preacher. Hey, preacher, why wasn't I asked to sing? Well, because you can't sing. Preacher, what? Just being honest. Just trying to encourage you. Amen. If you start singing and your dog walks out of the room, just telling you, just trying to be an encouragement. If you sound like Barney Fife trying out for the local choir, just trying to be an encouragement. What would happen in a church? And I think this was indicative of the church at Thessalonica. I really sincerely do when you read these first 10 verses. What would happen in a church? Are you pressing in for a minute? What would happen in a church if no one cared who got the credit but Jesus? What would happen? Man. May that be said of Emmanuel Baptist. Lord Jesus, may you receive the credit. My heart before my Lord. Lord Jesus, may you receive all the honor and all the glory for what has happened here. You say, yeah, but preacher, how big, preacher, did the church have to get when all the problems stopped? Are you kidding me? My granddaddy used to say, even my pastor used to say, the devil won't kick a dead horse. Now that just simply means we have problems, right? Any church that's trying to do anything for God is going to encounter difficulty. They're going to encounter trials. But here's what I've learned, and here's what we learn. If the devil brings bad things into the church, what do? You get on your face and you call out to Jesus, man. That's what you do. And look up here. You handle it by the principles of this book, the Bible. You follow Scripture. You let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit be our guide. A church, man, they're enthusiastic. They had evangelism at their heart. They eat, breathe, and sleep evangelism. I'm grateful to God, and I mean this, I'm grateful to God to pastor a group of people, just like the church of Thessalonica, I believe, that loves lost people. Amen? They love lost people. So, preacher, do I have to look a certain way to come to Emmanuel? No. Do I have to act a certain way to come to Emmanuel? Preach, I don't know that I would fit in with your church. Well, here's what I will tell you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you'll fit in pretty good. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you'll be welcomed here. You'll fit in. We'll love you. And our prayer is that we'll love you to Christ. Amen. You've heard me say for 12 years that if a church won't minister to someone when they're in their valley, they do not deserve the right to minister to them when they're on their mountaintop experience. You said, preacher, you mean to tell me you do funerals? And Brother Stephen had a, he's been my assistant pastor now for a couple years, and when I went out of town to Colorado, this doesn't happen all the time, but when I went out of town to Colorado, there was a death in the church, and then also through the church family, another death of someone, and Brother Stephen did both services. He was scared to death. He was scared. He was nervous, but he did a great job, I understand. The one family he did the funeral for, they're not members of this church. He said, well, why would you do it? I'm so glad you asked. Because of Jesus Christ. Trying to minister to them. Trying to encourage them and love them and show them the love of God. That's what it's all about. Verse 8 says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. Here's a question, Emmanuel. What would this church be like if every member was just like you? So, preach, that's kind of an in-your-face kind of question. Well, I hope, and the Lord knows my heart in this statement, I hope that God will arrest your heart to know that Jesus Christ needs to be first in our life. He needs to be the Lord of our life. Are you tired? Are we tired of doing it our own way? You say, preacher, I just wanted to say that to you. He says, so that we need not to speak anything. Look at verse 9 and 10, and I'm done. Notice the example that motivated this church. Verse 9, he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols. What is an idol? An idol is just simply something that's worthless, something that has no value. Amen? It has no value. It has no, you can't base your life on it as far as, it's not, let me say it like this. An idol is something, it's not going to give you full it's not going to give you full satisfaction. It's not going to bring you joy. It's not going to bring you truly biblical joy. Idols can't do that. Because the sad reality of an idol, you say, well, preacher, I don't worship idols. Well, I hope you don't. But I've learned in life that anything can become an idol if we're not careful. Good things can become an idol if we're not careful. So in the context of idols, Paul tells his church here, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the true, or to serve the living and true God. He's alive, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Have you turned to Him? Have you turned your life to Christ? Have you repented of your sin and turned your life to the Lord God who's alive? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Because I hope you understand that in the context of Scripture, And I'm all for the local New Testament church, and I believe it has a place and should have a place in your life. But on the authority of the Bible, please hear my heart, and please don't hear something that I'm not saying. I am not saying that the church will save you. The church cannot save your soul. The church, you being on a church membership roll, it cannot take you to heaven. It won't. It has no saving power. Baptism has no saving power. Salvation by works is not possible. Salvation by living by a do and don't list, it's not possible. Salvation only comes the minute you realize you're a sinner before God, you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and by faith you believe that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and you're calling upon him and him alone and trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone to be your Savior. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Then, after you're born again, then you follow the Lord in baptism. Become part of a local New Testament church where you can grow in your walk with God. You can grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. We're big on growth. We're big on growing forward. We ought to be growing forward in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's why we encourage you to come out for Sunday school. Said, preacher, Sunday school is for children. It is, but it's also for adults. It's Bible study, really, is what it is. We're going through the book of Hebrews right now. We'll be going through the book of Nehemiah and Esther soon. But get out and get involved in Sunday school, 9:45 to 10:45, an hour of studying the Word, man. And then worship, of course, at 11, and 6 o'clock Sunday night, and 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And get your kids involved in the Awana program. But the example here that motivated this church, in verse number 10, he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. To God be the glory. Amen? He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Church, inside and out, having Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sin, calling upon him to be your Savior. And once you're saved, become part of a local church. You say, ah, preacher, I can't join Emmanuel because I'm not a perfect person. You're the prime candidate to be a member here, man. There's none of us that are perfect. That news just devastated my wife because she thought I was for 20 years. None of us are perfect. We're sinners. Listen, at best, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. At best. And any goodness that we have come from Christ. And that's it. You say, preacher, well, I just don't know if I'd be welcome. I promise you we'll welcome you. And something else, let me say this to you. The Bible's very clear about something. The Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you're going to be mean as a green snake, come on now, right? If you're going to be mean and hateful and ornery, you know what we're going to do for you? We're going to pray for you, man. We're going to pray that you quit being so mean and ornery. There ain't none spiritual, preacher. I just speak my mind. Well, you better quit speaking so much. You ain't going to have much more to give. No. May our tongues, hear my heart, may our tongues and our words be in demonstration of the Spirit of God that is in us. Amen? May our tongue and our words, may they also be an example of the God that changed our life. If we're talking like we used to and we're mean to people and ornery and just absolutely hateful, I question your salvation. You say, preacher, now you lost me. You just completely lost me in your sermon. No. You say, preacher, are we allowed to do that? Well, the Bible says, by the fruit you shall know them. That's what the book says. So we're either backslidden or we're not saved. That makes me mad, preacher, that you would say that. You called me lost, preacher. No, I didn't call you lost. I said if. So make certain that you're born again. So I've been a member of this church for, I don't care. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, you'll die lost and go straight to hell. A member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Don't die lost from a church pew. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Will you stand with me, please? We're going to sing an invitation to him. The Lord Jesus has touched your heart. We encourage you to respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray. Maybe God's just arrested your heart. Maybe you need to do that. Just come and pray for yourself or pray for someone else. Just do Amazing Grace or something. Oh, Miss Beiser. But whatever the Lord's touched you to do, we encourage you to do that. Maybe you feel led of the Lord to join Emmanuel. You say, preacher, I tell you what, it sounds like Emmanuel's a pretty special place. It is. That's the honest truth. Before my Lord, Emmanuel Mr. Baptist is a very special place. God has his hand on it. The Lord's saving people and changing people's lives, and we praise him for that. And we would welcome you with open arms. We would love, we would be honored, man, to have you to be part of this ministry. If God's touched your heart, maybe you'd like to join Emmanuel. Our doors are wide open. If you feel the love of the Lord to join Emmanuel, step out one of these aisles, come forward. I'd love to talk to you about membership. If the Lord's in that, you say, preacher, I just don't know if I would. Listen, quit listening to the naysayers and get your Bible out and read how special the local church is. Will you do that? Get it out and read it. And look what God did with the ministry of the local churches throughout the New Testament. He changed the world. Matter of fact, the Bible says he turned the world upside down. Literally. My pastor said God turned it right side up, man, with the gospel. So if the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity. What's the number, Stephen? Hymn number